Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. And welcome to the show. I've got I got two brothers with me today, and we're taking a breather from the news. And as you'll be able to tell right away, these are the kind of shows that make my heart happy. But not only happy, but healthy. So let me tell you about my guest, Joey Bruno and his brother Mike. Joey, they are both the owners of ThriveCuisine.com. Joey's got a master's degree in nutrition and food science. He's a foodie. They're wannabe vegan chefs. Who isn't? And I'm happy to have them on their show. They found me through my shows with Will Tuttle, with Pita, with so many other people. And when I checked out their site, I was blown away. I thought it was great. So we're going to be answering a lot of questions that you're sitting back probably always having wondered and never really got a straight answer to about becoming either vegetarian or a vegan. So I want to say good morning to my guests, Joey and Mike. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Thank you for having us on.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure. Thrive Cuisine. How did that come about?
Well, actually, it's kind of a long story, but I'll give you the whole background so your audience gets an idea of you know who we are and our overall mission. So, my brother Mike and I, around 2 years ago, we both graduated college, and like you mentioned, had full-time jobs, and we started getting into the world of internet marketing, where you can basically have your own online business, be it, an information website or an e-commerce store, stuff like that. So we started going down that path, which, eventually gave us the freedom to leave our jobs. But we were kind of doing things that we weren't really, passionate about, or things that we didn't feel made a difference. We still have some sites, up where, we sell, different kinds of things like bidets, saunas. We have a couple different online businesses, but we really wanted to start to focus on, creating something that we care about and something that can create a positive difference.
Right.
And so that's why we created Thrive Cuisine, with the mission of making veganism easy to understand and accessible as well. And also to kind of compete in the online space with a lot of these sites that I deem as pretty negative, because instead of telling you to eat your fruits and vegetables, they're trying to sell you the next best supplement or something like that. So we really wanted to create take up some space in that area.
Right. Well, it's a good idea. I mean, a lot of people are supplementing their diets with vitamin supplements, etc. Even if they're eating fruits and vegetables, because they're not eating organic fruits and vegetables. It's interesting. I was at the grocery store and the checker saw me, everything I have is organic when I'm rolling through the checkout counter. And she said to me, "Wow, I see you like a lot of organics." And my answer was very simple to her. I said, "Yes, I actually want some nutrition in my food." So where do you guys stand on organics?
Well, I think from some of the research that's been done, the research I've looked into, it does seem like organic fruits and vegetables, they do have a higher, phytonutrient content, a lot of people don't really think about when it comes to, eating food and nutrition. They think about the macronutrients like fat and the sugar, and even the micronutrients like you know, iron, calcium, stuff like that. But there's also these phytochemicals that are found only in plants that, you know, have really beneficial reactions in our body, and they can do a whole bunch of things, and they all work synergistically together to, you know, make something happen in your body and really create profound health benefits. So in that sense, organic produce does seem to be better, but obviously it is better for someone to be consuming, you know, conventional fruits and vegetables versus consuming none at all.
Right. Well, you know, the difference I find is when I have friends come over and they eat a piece of fruit in my house, and then they'll tell me that the fruit they're buying, and I don't know why anybody would buy food at all at Walmart, has absolutely no taste. He said, it looks great. You pick it up. It looks great, smells great, and it has no taste. It tastes like cardboard. And I tell them that, well, there's the difference. You know, back in the day when I was, you know, young, everything was organic. I know you two. I'm pretty sure you guys are Italian. Maybe you're not. But when my grandmother used to cook, you could actually see the bugs. She had to scoop the bugs off the vegetables while it was boiling or getting steamed. So you damn well knew it was organic, because finding bugs in your produce was normal.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty young, so
I know. I'm just telling you how it was from grandma's perspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
So every now and then when I bring groceries home and there are bugs or a little piece of a worm in it, it reassures me.
Yeah, one thing, the reason why that happens is because I don't know if it's so much of the fact that they're organic, but more with the example of like a tomato or something, the way tomatoes have been selectively bred, they're bred for characteristics that give them good, you know, shelf life and transport and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And those characteristics, you know, may not coincide with, you know, a good amount of flavor.
Right.
So that's another reason that a lot of people don't think about is the characteristics that makes fruits and vegetables more cost effective are, you know, sometimes bred out in exchange for, you know, flavor and phytochemicals and things like that. And I don't think this is, you know, I don't think it's something that's done intentionally, but just something that's part of the nature of our interconnected economic system.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Right. People don't realize they're eating food that's traveled further than they've ever traveled in their lives. Which is why I guess they had that slogan, you know, if you can't, you know, buy organic, to buy locally, because at least it hasn't traveled all around the world and has to look good for, you know, a month.
Yeah, and if someone is selling locally, they don't necessarily need to use those kind of, you know, seeds that have those kind of traits. If they're, you know, if they're strictly selling their tomatoes or apples locally or something like that, it's not something that they would need to worry about versus
right.
You know, a big place that's distributing all over the...
Right. Well, and you have less of a chance of the food being genetically modified, too. You know, I'm looking forward to my farmer's market opening up. But where I live, you know, we only get that opportunity for about 3 months a year.
Yeah.
It's really, as far as, like, genetic modification, there's not, you know, too many foods that are genetically modified in the strictest sense. You know, talking about, like, having, you know, their genes spliced in a lab for... you know, some sort of purpose. I mean, the only fruits and vegetables, to my knowledge, that are genetically modified and available on the market is, beets that are used for sugar, you know, corn, soy. I believe there was tomatoes that are genetically modified, but I don't know if they're still available. Alfalfa, and I think there's only one or two others, but yeah, there's not too many foods that are genetically modified in terms of, like, fruit and vegetables.
Right. So far, so good. But, you know, I've become extremely paranoid when it comes to my food and water. That's for sure. So let me ask you two this, and I just need you to talk, you know, speak a little bit louder than you are. A lot of people, and I'm sure you deal with it all the time, think that it's very difficult to become a vegan or a vegetarian, and very expensive. What do you say to people when they say that to you?
I would say that, you know, pretty much easy is a relative term. When it comes to expensive, I think the exact opposite is true. Dried legumes, beans, all that, some of the best sources of, your macronutrients as well as, phytochemicals on the planet and the cheapest.
Right.
That completely blows it out of the water. It's just a matter of changing how you eat and look at food. If you've, grown up your whole life with certain habits and just eating the same thing, you're going to have to make some changes. There's no question about that. But I can guarantee once you do make those changes, you'll find it to be less expensive. And you're going to also have to spend some time in the kitchen learning how to work with certain ingredients that you're not used to working with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of my favorite things actually about being people think that your palate kind of contracts that you eat less stuff, but I gotta say my palate has definitely expanded, and I'm always experimenting. And there's just so many chefs and restaurants out there doing things with vegetables that you wouldn't expect, and it's all new, and it's all very exciting, actually.
I think so too. I mean, you do have to relearn a certain way of cooking, but you do get so much more variety that it's absolutely worth it. When people ask me, well, it's too expensive to eat the way you do, and I'm like, really? I'm like, I don't even know what the price of meat or chicken or fish is, because I don't even go down those aisles. I said, but if you're not buying that, I certainly think you can afford to pay an extra 50 cents for your broccoli. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you do? Do you suggest to people how to get started? How to make this transition?
Well, I think it would depend. I mean, we have a guide on our website on how to do it, but it, for the sake of talking about it, I think it could be a little bit less, generic. So I think it would come down to specifically what people like. So for example, my wife growing up, her staple food growing up was mac and cheese, like from the box.
Right.
So when we were making the transition, that was one of the things that we learned to make vegan and make it delicious. And, once you have a few of those things, a few of those staple dishes,
right,
you just get nail that down and expand out from there.
Uh-huh.
I think that's the simplest way to do it. And the other thing I wanted to touch on is that in our guide that we have on our website, the first thing that we have is to understand the why. Why are you going vegan? When it comes to health, even though I feel that health is sort of secondary, I mean, if you look at the rate at which people know smoking and people know fast food is good for you, but a lot of people, a majority of the population, do that anyway. So I don't think a lot of people are motivated by health.
Right.
So I think you need a reason that transcends that. And I think the animal ethics thing is kind of, that's my main motivation for doing it. And I think when people come to terms with the fact that they love their dog, they love their cat, it's hypocritical to consume animals that were treated in a way that you wouldn't want to see your pet be treated, or you wouldn't even want to see those animals be treated. You're just sheltered from it.
Right. Well, that reminds me of Melanie Joy's book on carnism, why you'll eat a pig, but you won't eat a dog. And yeah. I agree with you. When I had made all the same excuses everybody else made for so many years of not becoming vegetarian, vegan, etc., and then I had read John Robbins' second book. I don't remember if it was The Food Revolution or what the title of his second book was. And I no longer could go by the same old excuses, because I am an animal rights activist. And I decided to switch diet. And what was interesting is I didn't notice the health benefits until 2 years later when I no longer had to take thyroid medication. And, you know, most of the experts I've talked to say that the people that really stick with a vegan or vegetarian diet are because of their position on animal rights.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the same time, the main reason that I went vegan initially was for health reasons. You know, I was trying to, like, get rid of my allergies and, you know, do this and do that. And all I saw was health documentaries. I wasn't even aware of the animal ethics issue. And I feel like the fact that I was able to go vegan without that and, you know, see that I was able to survive and sort of break those habits, it made it a lot easier to, you know, connect with the animal suffering issue. Because even if some people can, you know, they'll watch Earthlings or they'll watch, you know, a documentary showing, you know, the way these animals are treated, they still can't fully make the connection to, you know, jump over and start a vegan diet. So each reason kind of plays their role. But yeah, I do agree that, you know, animal ethics is the main reason to stay vegan.
Right. And to me, you know, the health benefits were a pleasant side effect. That's how I look at it. It wasn't the reason for it. It was just a pleasant side effect. Now, your site offers so much free information to the viewer. So again, get over to Thrive Cuisine. You broke the site down. First of all, the site looks smoking hot. Thought I'd tell you that. You break it down in different topics, different things, even including recipes, which I have to check one out later because my daughter just gave me a whole bunch of mushrooms. So I have to figure out what best way to use like a million mushrooms at one time. But it makes it very easy. And what I like is there's no preaching going on there.
Yeah, so that's something that going forward, you know, we're still, this website is still relatively, you know, in its infancy. We're only about 6 months old now. But I do consider myself an activist in the sense that, you know, I go out on the streets and like preach to people and stuff like that. But, you know, in starting this, I kind of thought about, we're doing this with activism in mind. So the thing that, you know, we talk about is just eating more fruits and vegetables. And I think for many, that is a good first step rather than making the transition,
right,
you know, overnight, because it can seem so overwhelming. I know for myself, I went vegan overnight, but I wasn't eating a lot of meat to begin with.
Right.
Because, you know, I was just out of college, you know, I was trying to limit my budget. I was just eating beans, rice, stuff like that. I mean, for cost reasons mainly. So I think that's what made the transition easy for me. And I think if you can introduce people to the lifestyle slowly and show them, oh, wow, this is what you could do with vegetables. You can create all these great things, then it makes it, then it makes it easy. And another thing I wanted to say, and this is kind of outside the realm of science and stuff like that. This is just kind of something that I think occurs. If you're consuming meat on a regular basis, something about having it constantly and, you know, digesting it and all that, it'll make you overlook the animal rights issues more easily, if that makes sense.
Right.
You'll just be compelled to kind of like put them out of your mind just because it's such a regular habit of what you're doing. And your ego won't let you associate with that. I think that's, before I made the transition, I think that's what was happening to me.
Right. Well, I think that happens to a lot of people. Look, when you have a new baby, you basically have to force them to eat meat. You have no problem when you introduce bananas or peaches to their diet. But as soon as it's time for that meat, turkey, whatever, that kid's spitting it out like nobody's business. So it's part of our...
I didn't actually know that.
Well, yeah. Do you have any children yet?
Not yet. So that's not something I can say I've experienced.
Well, pay attention. Okay. I mean, I had two children, you know, many, many years ago. They're probably older than both of you. But what I noticed was they were A-OK with the cereals. They were A-OK. And doctors will always make you start when you transition a baby from breast milk or formula. They introduce cereals next. Then it's fruits. Then it's vegetables. And then it's meat. And the spitting, yeah, the spitting out of food begins with the meat. So you have to pretty much coax that baby or play airplane to get them to get it in their mouth and actually keep it in their mouth. So it's almost as though humans are innately born knowing what their body needs. And then, of course, you know, we have the USDA and everybody else telling us, you know, the food groups that you're supposed to eat, and everybody falls into that trap.
That's very interesting. I did not know that.
Well, now you do. And if, the way you said I did not know that, I would have said, wow, Johnny Carson used to say that all the time. But if you don't remember babies, you're not going to remember Johnny Carson either. What I liked, again, about your site, there's no judgment there. And I have to tell you guys, on Facebook, I had joined several vegan, vegetarian groups. And I had to pretty much drop out of every one of them because of how nasty those people are. They're as intense as born-again Christians trying to convert you. And I don't think that that's the right way to try to encourage someone to do something good for themselves or the planet, to just keep on slamming other people. And it was, I would say they were probably the most vicious groups, and I'm on a whole lot of groups on Facebook. They were the worst. What do you think about vegans or vegetarians that feel like they have to proselytize and force everybody to come around?
You know, I have to say that I don't think that it's probably effective for to actually, you know, convince people that they should try something new, simply because, you know, they'll get defensive, and it becomes about more like personal attacks.
Right.
At that point, a part of me, you know, says that, you know, when you are on the vegan side, you kind of view the whole situation with a bit of a sense of urgency and importance. And I just think a lot of people that go down that nasty route that you're talking about, I think it's driven from that place. So on one hand, I understand where it's coming from, but it's not, you know, it's not something that I necessarily view as effective when you're, you know, personally attacking, you know, someone else's character. You know, I think it's fine to attack someone else's views, and, you know, we should all be open to having our views criticized and, you know, be willing to examine those. But yeah, I hope that answered your question.
Yes, it did. You can't force somebody to do this. Listen, I have a lot of friends who are, you know, meat eaters. And we'll go out to dinner and they'll order their meat or whatever. And I don't judge them, you know, and I don't want them to feel like they have to order a vegan meal because they're out with me. You know, truthfully, I tell them, I don't really care what you eat, you know. My only responsibility is to myself. But I do notice that they all have intense physical problems, of which I have none. And I try to remind them that Americans are eating way too much protein, and that most of our major diseases are from too much protein, too many animal products. And, you know, I don't ever offer advice unless someone asks me for it.
Yeah. Yes, you got to really wait for the right time when the person is opened.
Absolutely. But I think the problem I hear over and over again from most people is they really believe that it's very difficult. It's not like they don't want to do it. They just think it's too difficult to do.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. It's I think we don't really have a good relationship with food in our culture at this time, you know, mainly because of the rate at which we're very busy.
Right.
So food kind of takes the back burner when, you know, I think it's Well, what actually, when we loop this into a discussion we had the other night, with my wife and my brother's girlfriend. So, you know, we were talking about whether the family gets together for dinner every night. And that was, you know, for us, I don't know if it was the same way when you were growing up, that was mandatory.
Oh, yeah.
You had to be home at a certain time, sit down, you know, for dinner. And in my parents' household, it was even more of a requirement. You know, because they'd get, you know, they'd get hit over the head with something if they weren't home in time. But I know that's not the case for a lot of people.
No.
And I think when you do that, food is kind of viewed as this extra thing rather than, you know, an intimate part of our lives and our everyday well-being. So I think people need to reacquaint themselves with. I mean, to me, it's one of the staples of the human experience is, you know, food and different ingredients, and it's something we should all learn from a very, very young age.
Right. Well, you know, I grew up in an Italian family, and we're talking about. I'm just gonna guess that you guys are probably millennials. That could be. Maybe I'm wrong. But you know, I grew up after World War II. Okay. And we were Italian, and we had pretty much macaroni and vegetables of different types, macaroni and beans, salads, vegetables. That was our staple until the Italian-American wanted to be more Americanized, and my parents introduced meat into our diet. And we're talking about maybe the early 1960s. And I remember balking at it because I wanted my macaroni. I didn't want meat. And I really never had a taste for it. But, you know, everybody was then saying, you know, your father worked all week, you know, so you could have this steak, you know, once a week or whatever. And I was like, yeah, but what about the fact we don't want it? What was interesting is we had no choice. Whatever my mother served, that was it. That was the only option. And you didn't leave the table till your dinner was done. But it was also time for the family to socialize. There was no such thing as eating while you're watching television. That was never going to happen. And that socialization is, I think, what you're talking about. You know, people have forgotten that there's a big difference between choking down your food or this new expression, you know, I'm doing the, what are we doing for dinner? Oh, we're going to do chicken, you know, or whatever. There's a big difference between choking down your food and fine dining, actually enjoying the dining experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm as guilty as choking down my food as anyone else is from time to time. But it is of critical importance to take that time and, you know, slow down and, you know, kind of. I think this word is overused a lot, but, you know, be mindful of what you're doing when you're
so. Right. Well, you know, I'm single. I have a lot of friends that are single, whether they're divorced or their partner died or they just choose to be happily single. And I watch what my single friends will do. You know, they'll stop by, you know, Subway or some sandwich shop or whatever and pick up something to eat. But I got to tell you, I cook for myself a full dinner every night. And I serve myself like I'm in a restaurant, okay? And my friends are kind of blown away by that. And they're like, what? You're just going to start cooking? And I'm like, yeah, I want to eat well, you know? And I like cooking. But I think that the skill of cooking has left a lot of people. And truthfully, your site makes it a whole lot easier for people to cook with, you know, fruits and vegetables and healthy grains and beans and starches. Although you got recipes there. I mean, you can't make it any easier. And anybody can Google a recipe for something and come up with, you know, 100 ways of cooking the same thing.
Yeah. So just to add to that, you know, on our website, in a few posts, we recommend this app called Happy Cow, which is basically, you know, you download it on your phone and then you click a button and it tells you, you know, all the restaurants in your area that are either vegan, vegetarian, or have vegan options. And that's something that, you know, I use very, very often, especially, you know, when I'm in a new place, and it makes even going out and finding food, you know, in a pinch, very, very easy.
Right.
So, you know, it's tips and tricks like that that really
makes it easier. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when we were talking a little earlier, we were talking about transitioning. You know, like you had said, Joey, your wife, you know, her favorite was macaroni and cheese or whatnot. What, you know, today you have so many vegan choices you can buy in your grocery store that helps you transition, whether it's vegan hot dogs, vegan burgers, vegan chicken. You know, I mean, the list goes on, you know, it wasn't that way 20 years ago. So it's easier than ever. So if you've got the urge for hot wings, guess what? There's somebody out there making those, and you can buy them in your frozen food section, and they'll taste the same without any of the fat or grizzle or whatever other disgusting things are inside what people are eating. So that helps a lot. You know, if you're in a hurry, they've got vegan cold cuts. They taste just like the real deal. There's a new brand of vegan cheese that's better than cheese. So if you wanted to slap together a sandwich, you can do that now. You don't have to cook to eat if you don't want to.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you say the buffalo thing. One of my wife's favorite things was also, in addition to mac and cheese, was buffalo chicken. And now I would say the meal that she eats the most is buffalo cauliflower.
I'm sorry, your phone got a little wiggly there. Buffalo what?
Buffalo cauliflower.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so many ways of, you know.
Recipe.
Right. Now, you also had a whole section which really impressed me, which we're going to talk about when we come back. So I'm going to ask my audience to stay with us. We'll be right back. Hi, Maria here, and I have a message due to the pressure of the times we're living in. I'm calling on all students and millennials to get the education they need to fight the fascism taking over our world. I've made a special subscription offer for students and for seniors on a limited budget. For just $9.99 a month, you can subscribe and get that education. Over 500 hours of real education that's necessary to understand the world, the problems, and the solutions. Remember, knowledge is power. Together, you can change the world, but to do so, you must be informed of what's really going on and have real facts to support you in your endeavors. It's time for all the grandmothers to take a stand and teach the younger generation what their life could be and how to get there. Help me help you. One person cannot do it alone, and the guidance you seek is right here at www.maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. Your generation is the generation we've been waiting for, so let me help you. Thanks for listening. Okay, welcome back to the show. We're talking with Joe and his brother Mike, two young men, two spectacular men. I'm, of course, millennials, and you know how I feel about that generation, having two of them in my own family, actually three if I count my son-in-law. ThriveCuisine.com. Before the break, we talked about a lot of interesting things, you know, not judging other people is an important part. If you want other people to make the switch, I find just answer their questions when they have it and lead by example. That's how I live my life on pretty much every level. What I was happy to see on your site was the ultimate guide to building muscle on a vegan diet. And I know I have some physical trainers in the audience, and I know that a lot of them are vegan. And I have people that are not, that are probably eating way too much protein after their workout. What made you guys decide to include muscle on a vegan diet?
I think we decided to do that mainly because, you know, that is a huge stopping point for a lot of people. And it is, you know, a big defensive, you know, argument people make, you know, how am I going to build muscle? Where am I going to get my protein and stuff like that? And so, you know, it's obviously important to overcome those objections and, you know, really break down what building muscle entails and, you know, just the actual science of it to show that it's really not dependent on, you know, how much meat you're eating and, you know, all these extra factors. It just comes down to, you know, a few different things.
Right, Right. Well, you know, I also like that you listed several of, and I follow a lot of these people on Facebook and whatnot, a lot of these vegan athletes, Serena and Venus Williams, you know, Brandon Brazier, David Hay, Jimmy Sitko, Patrick Boobibian, I can't even pronounce his last name. But there's so many of them out there, and they look, to me, they look extra lean and extra ripped compared to their meat-eating competition.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many, even just like on YouTube, or, you know, not even professional athletes, but just, you know, people making a name for themselves on YouTube or on Instagram or stuff like that, you know, and a lot of people in our generation are influenced by those types of people. So it is just important to show that people are out there just eating, you know, plants that can, you know, look great. So we wanted to definitely put that out there.
Right. Now, both of you shared with me during the break that you're in your 20s. And I notice a difference with young men today in their 20s, maybe their 30s, not really older than that, who actually care about how they look. It almost seems like all of a sudden men are working out more, working on their abs, wanting to look healthier. That didn't exist, by the way, when I was younger, okay? You know, Jack LaLanne, you know, what did he live? He lived to be 92 years old, and he was a, you know, a vegan, which very few people even knew. But, you know, he was a big-time guy when I was a kid. But it wasn't the norm. It wasn't people really paying attention to their diet or exercise. What makes you guys more interested in how you look than generations before you? I mean, you may not even have an answer to that question, but it's very apparent to me since I've lived forever and I'm as old as dirt. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's hard for me to speak about it necessarily because I can't say what the difference is. I know I've just grown up a certain way. Our father was very into bodybuilding, and, you know, in our house growing up, we had, you know, an entire home gym. So, you know, we've always had access to it, and, you know, we grew up playing sports and different stuff like that. I think a lot of the way, you know, a lot of the whole body image thing with our generation has a lot to do with social media and the fact that, you know, there is so many pictures of you out there and everything winds up on the internet. So it's kind of like almost an ego thing that you know, you want to look good because it does play so much of a bigger role in your life than it may have in the past.
Right. I mean, all you got to do is look at, I don't know if you kids have looked at the diet that the president of the United States, that's the first time I've ever referred to him that way. So I'm not going to say his last name. So I can't say it all in one sentence, but you look at what he eats nothing but garbage, nothing but, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken, steak with ketchup, fast food, you know, he's got Cheetos and Lay's potato chips on Air Force One. And you look at the physical, mental shape of this person, and all I can say is you are what you eat.
Kind of looks like a Cheeto.
Right. So if you look at that, and this is supposed to be, you know, a leader, an example, you know, he's a pretty piss poor example for our children. And, you know, however you felt about Obama and Michelle, you know, she tried to do something with organic food. She tried to improve school lunches for kids. Her husband, you know, Barack Obama, obviously is a young man who's in shape. Okay. At least he was they tried to be a fairly good example. Not that they said they were vegan, but if you think about it, Bill Clinton and Al Gore didn't bother becoming vegan until after their heart attacks.
Yeah. I think actually, I think I have an answer to your previous question that I think is going to make sense.
Sure.
I do actually think it's pretty pertinent to touch on.
Right.
So you asked, you know, why people our age care about being in shape or how they look. And I think the answer is because the way our lifestyles are designed now, I feel like it's almost like you have one or two choices. Just based on the type of work
that, you know, you have to do as a millennial. So, I mean, you're going to likely be in front of a computer most of the time, just because that's what your work is going to require.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be in a car. Our lifestyles are just so sedentary just because of the way that they are that, you know, you have a choice. You either are going to exercise or you're not. For most people, there is no in-between anymore, if that makes sense.
Right, right. Well, you know, I see a lot of people a whole lot younger than me that are, you know, already on 10 or 12 different medications. You know, they go up a flight of stairs and they need to take a 5-minute break. Okay. So, you know, I do agree that most probably sitting is the new smoking. But, you know, I try and I make my living on my computer just like you guys do. But I try to get up and move around in between, and I make sure I go to the gym every day and move around for at least an hour and a half. Yes, I understand lifestyle has changed, but sometimes I wonder if it was worth the trade-off. Do you know what I mean? Let's get back to your site and the work you guys are doing. One of the things that really stood out, there's a lot of stuff on your site. Believe me, I've interviewed so many people in your field, but there's a lot different happening on your site. First of all, it's extremely easy to navigate. And when you open up any one of those boxes, the drop-down list and the questions give you total and complete information. And one of the things I saw you do was review supplements, which a lot of people do not do. They don't even mention that.
Are you talking about the building muscle?
Right.
I don't know what exactly you're referring to.
Well, do you want me to bring up your site?
Because I know we don't review that many supplements. What we will do is, we'll do reviews of different, like, appliances.
Right. And, you know, well, yeah, that was another thing. Right. That was another thing is reviewing appliances. Listen, I have a friend who just recently became a vegetarian. And she offered to cook for me. And I walked in her house and she had like all these weird appliances I had never seen before to cook, whether it was her tofu or this or that. And I was fascinated that somebody who just got started was cooking with appliances that I've never even seen. Needless to say, the food was great and it wasn't greasy or, you know, any of that stuff. But you have buying guides on your site. You've got recipes on your site, appliance reviews, the benefits of berries, the benefits of kale. I got to tell you, I burnt out on kale because there's so many different varieties of it. And I was eating it so much that I had to take a break from it. But for everybody listening, you know, the ones that I think helped the most is somebody in the beginning, going vegan on a budget. And telling people how to do that, because I don't know why people think it's expensive to eat this way, because it's not.
No, absolutely not.
I think one of the main things that we tried to do with our site, you know, we were talking about activism before and how, you know, going up to someone and yelling at them isn't effective. And, you know, instead of going out on the street and, you know, trying to preach veganism, we're using our skills, you know, with the internet to sort of create our own, you know, point of power to where we know, you know, what type of person is going to be searching for a blender, you know, someone that's going to be health conscious or trying to make improvements in their life, and we can catch them there and we can, you know, send them in the right direction. So we really tried to use our skills, you know, combined with our mission to create a new form of activism to, you know, ask people where they're at and steer them in the right direction.
Right. Well, you know, here's a little tagline you might want to use. You don't preach veganism, you teach it. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I've seen a lot of sites, but none of them break it down like you guys do. You know, I could just look at the, you know, well, where am I? Let me just see where I'm at here. Going vegan on a budget. Okay. Table of contents, and every one of these has got a long and a really informative article attached to it. You can't make it easier. You know, you drop down a menu. Is going vegan too expensive? Being a smart consumer, your staple foods, how to shop for produce, specialty vegan items on a budget, cooking with staple foods. these really are the questions that people want answers to. There's no preaching here. This is like the ABCs of vegan, going vegan. And it's what people need. You know, usually when I post on Facebook, you know, when I have these stories, you know, the three-headed fish coming out of Fukushima, you know, the beef that's glued together, you know, these horrific stories, I will always put in the website goveg.com. And because they offer a free starter pack on how to become a vegan or vegetarian. And for some people, vegetarian is as far as they can go. Well, guess what? It's better than what they're eating now. But, you know, this site really gives you everything you need to know, including, you know, including recipes.
Thank you. We really appreciate that. I mean, we did, you know, put a lot of work into creating that stuff, so... the compliments are definitely well received.
Well, you know, listen, first of all my listeners know how I feel about the millennial generation, okay? I think you guys are spectacular, probably the best generation since mine, okay, since the baby boomers. I mean, we changed the world in a million ways. Unfortunately, they want to change it all back. But you guys are here to really change the world, bigger and better than we ever did. So I was very impressed because, you know, how did you guys come to be on my show? All you really wanted to do, because you saw the kind of people I've had on my show, was show me your website. But as soon as I saw your website, I wrote you back and said, how about coming on my show? Remember that?
Yeah. I was actually pretty surprised.
Right.
Like, you know, we haven't been on too many podcasts.
Well, I'm sure my listeners will forgive you for any nervousness or whatnot in the beginning of the show. But, you know, I haven't done a show like this in a while. So your timing was, to me, it was, you know, no coincidence. And when I checked out your site, I was like, wow, we could do a show just going off this site. And that's what I told you. We don't even need to prepare anything because you've done the work. You make it very easy for people, and I don't want you guys to think you're out there alone or just twisting in the wind, because what you've done is huge. I know I'll be referring to your site, especially tonight when I've got to find a recipe for those mushrooms. Because, you know, if you just buy a single pack of mushrooms, it's one thing, it's easy to do. When you get like 3 pounds of them, you're like, what am I going to do with this? So I'm thinking soup.
Yeah, it's either soup or a gravy, I think, would be the best choice.
All right. I like your How to Go Vegan, the ultimate step-by-step guide. And that's what people want to know. Otherwise, it's overwhelming to them. So people could come in and, you know, you've got the meat substitutes, cheese substitutes, because people are addicted. There's three flavors in this world. It's sweet, it's salt, or it's fat. And... I don't know, you know, I'm trying to think of the name of the cheese that I've been buying, but I mean, it's off the charts delicious, and I can't remember the brand. I'd have to go look in my fridge. But you want to replace those tastes, and I think it's the taste people miss the most. But there's so many ways of, you know, making up for that. And you have that all listed, you know, learn how to shop, where to shop, what to buy, how to transition. And also, I don't think people should be so hard on themselves. You know, if you fall off the wagon every now and then, so what?
Yeah. I mean, there's no, you know, for a lot of people, it's going to be a gradual step-by-step process. And I think for anything you do, you know, consistency to achieving anything is, in my opinion, the most important piece. So if you have a goal and you know you're consistent, you're gonna get there as long as you stick to it and create a habit for yourself.
Right. Well, that's everything in life is consistency. I mean, when I started my show online in 2000, I never expected to still be doing it 17 years later. But I guess I got consistent.
Yes.
What? How about your family? Does your family accept the fact that you guys are vegan? Do you have a problem with that?
I'll let Mike answer that one.
Oh.
Yeah. I would
I was the first one in the family to go vegan. So, you know, and no, there was no point at any time where they weren't accepting or, you know, anything less than supportive. I know, you know, my dad had tried to go vegetarian and vegan, you know, several times in his life. So, yeah, I mean, they understood it. It wasn't something that, you know, really caused any problems. And then, you know, over time, my uncle wound up going vegan. You know, Joe and his wife wound up going vegan. And, yeah, I mean, it's really, I think we've been lucky in that regard that we have a supporting family. And, yeah, I think a lot of it is that people don't understand completely what you're doing.
Right.
And so, you know, you'll get, like, weird questions, and I think that sort of creates a divide, and it makes things weird. So, no, our family's been great. You know, they understand. They know how to cook for us. And, you know, they don't mind eating vegan when they're with us.
Right. Right. Well, I think that's the hardest part is for your friends that are not, you know, if they want to invite you to dinner, they don't know what to make. They'll say, you know, many times I heard people say, oh, you're a vegetarian, so we'll have chicken, you know, and I'm like, yeah, no, yeah. I'm like, yeah, no, that's yeah. not going to happen. I'm just make a side salad. I'll be happy with that.
yeah. You know, you can always bring your own contribution and, yeah, I think as long as you can clearly communicate what you're doing and why you're doing it, people will tend to be supportive. Mm. And it's like you said, you know, you got to lead by example, and that's really, you know, the only way that you're going to get support and even really get people to, you know, convert over from their lifestyle to yours. They, you know, they see you doing well and, you know, they ask questions and, you know, you're there as a support system and you're also there doing your own thing.
So, right.
That is very important.
Yes, it is. And I mean, you know, so many people see such tremendous health benefits as, like I said, as a great side effect to switching their diet. You know, and there's a million films out there that people can watch. But I think until that clicks in your head, it can't happen. So I don't put pressure on people. I just figure when they're ready, they're going. If it doesn't click in their head, it's like anything else. They're just not going to be motivated to do it.
Yeah. And I have this memory of, you know, when I was in high school, I worked at this Mexican restaurant, and there was this this girl that I worked with, and she was vegetarian, and I would always make fun of her for, you know, not eating meat, and looking back, we always talk about that story and how, you know, I wound up becoming vegan, and she's still very vegetarian, so now she's the one that makes fun of me. So, you know, people have different times in their life, and not everyone is going to come around when you want them to. So again, you just have to lead by example, and when they're ready, they'll come to you, and you know, that's when you do what you can.
Right. Well, that's what I say. You know, I lead by example, and if people ask, I'll tell them, but what they do with their own personal body and life, that's their own business, you know. But to me, there's no point in getting older if you're going to be sickly and crippled and you can't move and you got, you know, all kinds of diseases, you know, without quality of life, what's the point?
Yeah. And, you know, the main issue with obviously people who, you know, that are preachy vegans is that it's for them. And, you know, I agree with this. It's more than a personal issue. You know, every time you make that contribution with your dollar to buy an animal product, you know, you're contributing to that suffering. And so, you know, it is hard to feel passionate about something
right.
that's beyond yourself and you know, that's causing suffering to, you know, millions and millions of sentient beings. But at the same time, you really need to think about, you know, what the best thing to do, you know, would be to reduce that suffering. And sometimes it's not swimming at someone. It's not, you know, acting in a certain way because in the end, that'll only make things worse.
Right. Teach, not preach. You know, listen, I've been saying this for decades, probably longer than you guys are alive, that the only votes we really have is with our fork and with our dollars. So it's time for people to become, you know, conscious consumers.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, that our power with our dollar and the way that we spend money is, I think, the most effective way to make any change in life. Because, you know, nothing can stick around. no business can thrive if no one's, you know, buying from it. So I think that is why the vegan movement has been so effective in being able to grow so quickly. I mean, I've only been vegan for 4 years, and I've seen, you know, so many new products pop up and
right.
just so much happened so quick. And it's just because the vegan community understands that the power does lie within their dollar, and they're always going out of their way to support, you know, different vegan foods and this and that. So it's really a community thing. And, you know, that's something that we aim to do with our website as well.
Well, and you're doing a great job. I mean, you're just getting started. So it's nice to know that there are young people like you on the planet doing the right things. It's very encouraging. So big thank you to Joe and Mike. I want to thank you guys for coming on my show. You did A-OK for your first podcast.
Thank you.
All right. Well, stay in touch and just keep sending me your updates.
Sounds good, Maria.
All right. Take care now.
Take care.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Okay, got to give the young people a chance, and that's today. And I'm proud of these two young men. Check out their work at thrivecuisine.com. I think they've pretty much answered every question you could possibly have, and it's a great step-by-step. And, you know, the big boom in people going vegan are the millennials and the younger generation. So, you know, sometimes the younger generation knows more than the older, and we have to be able to accept that. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you know any other spectacular millennials out there, send them my way. And I will see you guys on Thursday when I'll be back with the news.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.